Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Must Be The Place. I'm your host, Imogen J. Lister. We are here in Toronto with Baby O, or as I know her, Liv. I'm really excited to be chatting. We met at the Transac one night at a really weird little show, really crazy little show with like an interpretive dancer, and it was really cozy. And they started giving me so many ideas for love songs right off the bat. So I knew Liv had to be on the podcast and it would go so well. I'm really excited to get into it. Liv, if you'd like to introduce yourself, any projects, anything?
Yes, I'm very excited to chat love songs. And it was fun running into you that night, and just immediately the things that popped into my head, because, you know, I love to think about love, I love to talk about love, so I'm excited to get into it. And I made some notes for today, and I thought about three songs I really want to chat about. But yes, I'm Liv. Also, my artist name is Baby O, which is a nickname that was given to me when I was a teenager because I'm really small, but everyone who knows me knows that. So that's where the baby part comes from. And yeah, just this year playing a bunch live in Toronto and through the GTA and working on some new music, but it would mean a lot of folks could come out to the show. So I'm always, you know, plugging shows, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's mainly shows on the plate this year, yeah.
Mainly shows. I'm working on new music, like recording. So I'm also working on some stuff, recording some new stuff. But you can also hear those if you come to the shows, because I like to play them live. But our next show in Toronto is on April 11th. And then we also have a show in Hamilton on April 12th. And then, yeah, just some shows throughout the summer. I don't know when this is going to air, so...
I don't know either. Yeah. We'll see where...
But yes, come to a show. That would mean so much to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope I could sell folks on my music when they see it live.
Definitely. Yeah, I've seen you live, and it's so much fun. Awesome. Yeah, lot of energy. Yeah, I was sad to miss your show at the Houndstooth. I had a shoot that night, but I was so ready to come. But
we'll be at Houndstooth again, so definitely. I already have a date in May, like May 28th. We're going to be at Houndstooth. Oh, cool. So, okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's a fun little place.
So good. Yeah. So good.
Very homey, very mm-hmm. cozy place. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about these songs. I have not listened to them yet.
Awesome.
Just opening them up, but I am...
Yes, it'll be fun, I think, to see your reaction hearing them the first time. Mm-hmm. And if I could choose an order.
Definitely, of course.
Because I feel like there's, like, a journey here. Yeah. Okay, so maybe, actually, you know what? The first song I would love to listen to and talk about was a song that I told you about, the Transac, mm-hmm. because it was the first time I heard... a love song that like really resonated with me. I was like, oh my god, this is so beautiful. It's about love. And I heard it around like when I was like probably around 20 years old, and it just really struck me. So the first song, if we could, because that's the one that initially popped into my head when you asked me about love songs, is She Knows by Richard Manuel. Not written by Richard Manuel, who is a member of the band, one of my favorite bands, but he covered this song written by James Griffin, which I only discovered because a shout out to my bandmate, Mark Scherzinger, who plays guitar in my band. I was telling him about this song, and yeah, we were looking into it, and then I was like, oh, this guy, James Griffin, wrote it. He's like, wait, isn't that guy in the band Bread, which was like this 70s...
Yes, I know. Okay. Bread from this podcast, actually.
Okay, who else was talking about Bread?
Back when I originally launched it, okay. Mine and Poppy's good friend Andy brought up a Bread song.
What?
Okay. And she related it to... her now ex-girlfriend, but my now roommate.
What?
Yeah. So that the world is
okay,
small.
Okay, the world just comes back around. Well, okay, yeah. So clearly Bread has this knack for writing like emotional type of songs that like it really pulled at my heart. But anyways, mm-hmm. I heard Richard Manuel's version. Richard Manuel was in the band. He sang a really soulful voice. And also Ray Charles also covered this song. Anyways, I think this is the first song I want to talk about because it's the one that when I first heard it, I was like, wow, love song, mm-hmm. holy.
Definitely. Should we just jump into that one then now? Okay, awesome. Let's do it. So we can do headphones on. This is She Knows by Rick Danko?
And yes, and Richard Manuel, yes.
And Richard Manuel. Awesome. I love the line, she's the candle and I'm the moth, but also I love her for the things she knows. I don't know. I feel like it's like we can make so much assumptions about the line like she knows is, and then to like pull it back to that is like really, it adds another meaning to it on top of everything else that he's already unpacked. But I'll let you talk about your interpretation of this song.
Yeah, I also was struck by that. I love her for the things she knows. I think when I first heard it in my early 20s, I had stumbled across the band hilariously because I was obsessed with this other band like when I was in my 20s and I'd been following them. They were like a local Hamilton band. And I remember like being obsessed with this band and I was following all the members and I was like, oh my God, these guys are so cool. And this one guy, the bass player in this band, would post like lyrics in his like Facebook like status back in the day when we kind of had that. Mm-hmm. And he had posted lyrics for a song and I just would always Google it because I was just like, well, what is this guy listening to? Like, he's so cool. I want to know. So he had posted the lyrics for this song called Strawberry Wine from the band, and I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, this band rules. And I just was so obsessed with it. And then back to this song, Richard Manuel is in this band, the band, and yeah, so anyways, like I was just like, okay, I'm obsessed with them. Richard's voice is amazing. And so I just started looking more into Richard. And then yeah, this like live version he did on his own, like not with the band, but what he did with Rick Danko, who was another member of the band, but anyways, like he kind of did solo. And I was just like, whoa, I heard this song and the lyrics just struck me. I was like, to me at that time, you know, having not yet had maybe much experience in the realm of romance and relationships and wanting to feel connected and valued, I just thought, I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. This man is talking about this woman that he's probably really in love with and he just really appreciates her and all that she does and how she cares for him, and he just feels so safe and protected by her and recognizing that. And I thought that was just so beautiful at that time. I was like, wow, I've never heard like maybe a guy talk like that about a woman in this way. And mm-hmm. It wasn't just about, oh, she's really attractive, or like it wasn't like overtly sexual or anything.
Yeah.
You know,
very was, like vulnerable and like honest. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It was like about like what she did and not so much like looks or stuff like that. And I think maybe at the time I was feeling very seen by that. I was like, wow, I would love to be recognized like this by someone in a song, I guess. You know, at that time in my life. And it just was, yeah, it struck me because it was talking about women in a way that maybe I hadn't heard in music before in that way. So yeah, I was saying to you earlier when we were kind of pre-chatting, mm-hmm. I was a little torn up about whether or not I wanted to actually talk about this song today. Because my relationship to the song has changed over the years. So I like first heard it when I was in my early 20s and now I'm in my 30s and I listened to it and, you know, I know I'm not saying that this was like Richard's intention or sorry, the writer, like James Griffin, who wrote the song. Like, you know, I listen to it now and I'm almost like, well, you're so appreciative of this woman and all that she does for you. But what are the ways in which you're also giving back to her? And it almost feels like a little uneven when I listen to it now in my 30s. And like maybe now after having had, you know, romantic relationships and experiences, maybe, you know, maybe I'm a little more cynical now when I hear it. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't sit the same with me anymore. And I just found that interesting. So I was like a little bit like, oh, does this song still have that weight to me anymore? It totally has changed. And isn't that the thing with like art, like you evolve and you take different meanings from things. And I actually thought it was interesting to maybe like talk about how now I hear this song after having been through, you know, relationships and whatnot, and I don't feel the same way about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like you're trying to reconnect to that younger version of yourself listening to it? Very like innocent and sort of like, yeah, like youthful in it, naive. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you know what, I was like listening to it in all the versions of it before coming to hang out today, and mm-hmm. I was even listening to the Ray Charles version where he did like a live version in Brazil, and it's on YouTube and it's amazing. And like, you know what, like I think if I can remove myself from my own, from kind of like I guess the wounds or like darker experiences I've had and just get lost in like the pure emotion and vulnerability of the song, I am taken back. And like even this morning when I was listening to Ray Charles do a cover of it, I was like, it is really beautiful and it is really raw. And maybe, yeah, like also I'm kind of frustrated that like you can't preserve that like vulnerability, and I do long for it. But I guess that's also why we have music, because this morning when I was listening to it and I was listening to Ray Charles, I got lost in it at that time. And so it's nice to know that like art can bring you back in this way. But yeah, it's like a little bit, there's some days where I listen to it and I'm just like, huh, it's not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. But I really certainly like appreciate it for the fact that like it spoke about women in a non-sexual way and like a reverence in this way that just, you know, yeah, like, because I feel like I work so hard to be present and think about people and consider people, and to have that recognized through song, that's what it felt to me. Was really nice. So I appreciate for that. Although some days I'm just like, well, how are you gonna consider me now? You know, exactly. There's that too. The reciprocity, man. Yeah, the exactly. Reciprocity, you know. Clearly, I've been in some experiences where I feel like I haven't gotten that, but so it's made me a little cynical. But I still love this song. It's so beautiful. Richard's voice, right? Like, that was the live version we listened to. Like, just even the way his voice kind of, like, gets into that, like, sort of airy falsetto. It's like, it's almost like his whole life depends on this woman, right? Exactly. Like, when he's singing it, which I'm like, wow. But also I'm like, hey, codependence. Like, you know, my, like, then my, like, freaking therapy brain's like, ah. But
you're like seeing the worst of this relationship from this one song. Yeah. Do you find that in your own music you feel a need to tell like the whole story? Like, do you feel a need to like give every perspective and everything and kind of express it? No,
not in my, yeah, like I think like in my music I feel like it's actually funny because I feel like I'm able to like quote the problematic version of myself or something. Like, I think in my day-to-day I try really hard to like, you know, be a reasonable, level-headed guy, but in my music I think I actually allow myself to explore some of those like more challenging feelings, maybe even act out like the things that I wouldn't act out in real life. Like, I think I actually do bring that to my music, and I've written songs where I feel like I would never actually say these things in real life or do these things, but it's like I need an outlet. So in music, I don't care so much about capturing all the nuance in a situation. I think different songs can do that. So it's usually I'm trying to capture a certain feeling and really go deep into that. And it's okay if I'm neglecting like other perspectives. I feel like that's another song could explore that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when we're talking about love songs, it's like it's important to realize like there's usually one part that we're assigning this to. Like, this part, this song is your younger self. The next song is going to explore another story of who you are, and the next song will explore another part of it. Yeah. And I think like that's part of the beauty of like making like a playlist and stuff, is that like you can craft your own story in it and everything and figure it out. And
Yeah, the art of playlisting is huge. And definitely. Also, yeah, like, even with these songs, starting with this one, too, I was like, yeah, because this is, like, my younger self's, like, really connected to this. But, like, hey, like, at that time, like I said, like, I hadn't gone through a single romantic, like, deep romantic connection. Like, I had gone on some dates in my life. Like, I never really had, I hadn't been in love at the time that I'd heard this song. So I was longing to be seen in this way. So it makes sense to me that that song really resonated. And now at this point, like, I've had a whole bunch of experiences and I'm kind of like looking at it, I'm like, where's the reciprocity? Yeah.
Where's the other part of it? Where's the other part of the story?
So, yeah. But like we were saying too, though, the emotional, performance still is just so beautiful. And I do feel that deeply. And it's just so vulnerable. And it is really beautiful. And that emotion that comes through, like, his whole life is just depending on this woman. And it's just really intense. It's a really intense song, and that still rings true for me.
Definitely. I feel the intensity in it. It feels very, very heavy, and, like, his voice just adds to that kind of, like, storytelling of that heaviness, for sure.
1,000%.
Yeah. Is there, like, a specific memory or person that like made this song strike a chord, or was it just like a little bit of like a personal yearning? Like,
I think it was a yearning. Yeah, at that time, like, it was a yearning. Like, I wasn't feeling particularly connected to anyone romantically. Like, I think at that time, I really wished I could have a boyfriend at that time, you know? And I just, it wasn't happening. And, like, I was in my 20s, still, I never had a boyfriend, which turns out it's probably because I'm queer and I just, like, couldn't really make sense of all of that at the time. I was still like really like struggling to figure all of that out, but it was a song about like, yeah, for me, there was no one in particular that came to mind. I just really wanted to have someone who would say those things to me. Like, I wanted to be in a relationship with someone who'd be like, yeah, like, I love you for how much you pay attention to me and care about me and all the like effort you give to nurture me. Like, I wanted to have someone I could do that with, and also
to be like appreciated, yeah, in that sense. Yeah. And yeah, like, for someone to recognize almost like how much you love, like, as someone who loves very deeply, it's like all I ask is that, like, you know, like, my friends understand how deep that runs, and like, yeah, yeah, like, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
And like, mm-hmm, yeah, I totally wasn't feeling that at that time, because I wasn't, mm-hmm, having that experience. So yeah, like you just said, like, wanting that to be recognized, I wasn't getting that. So hearing that song, I was like, oh, okay, like, maybe he's singing to me. Like,
I get it,
you definitely know. Yeah,
yeah, it feels, yeah, that way. And like, it's funny how like sometimes we like listen to music to like imagine what we want to be in and everything, to live in that fantasy world, because I definitely have like listened to songs and been like, I wish someone wrote this song about me, you know, like, yeah,
yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's how I was feeling. I was like, I want someone to write a song about me. Still, I happily would take anyone wants to write a song about me, like a cute little song. Yes, please. That's the way to my heart. Write me a song. Yeah, but I think I felt that way about this one for sure. I would, mm-hmm, listen to it and be like, wow, how nice. Like, imagine if Richard Manuel was sitting at a piano and like singing this to me. I'm like, woo, that's crazy.
That would be beautiful. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's awesome. Do you have anything else you want to add about this song or lyrics or anything?
Yeah, like, I think it's the line you even said. I think the line that strikes me the most is, I love her for the things she knows. She gives me wings with all the things she knows. And I just thought that was just so beautiful. That line really speaks to me, because it's like a really selfless love, obviously, that he's receiving from this woman. And the fact that he's acknowledging it, like, because you know what? I think that's the thing, too. Like, we're all out here loving each other, and maybe, you know, we don't acknowledge it as much as we should. And to have a song that is wanting to take a moment to appreciate, like, it's just so beautiful. I feel like so many of us feel unseen, you know, and that, mm-hmm, line really is really stunning. A lot of the lines are stunning in here. Like, there's a lot of like imagery. I were the earth and she knew falling snow, like, beautiful, beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. So it is pretty romantic, you know.
Exactly. It's way more poetic than it seems on a surface level. I feel like you hear the voice and you kind of like hear kind of the vibe and you're like not really sure, but then it gets into so many like metaphors, similes in a way that you're like really not expecting it to, and then, yeah, it's really, you can feel how deep it runs. Yeah, like, it feels really sweet.
Yeah. And if you like you're right, because when the song starts off, it starts off almost in this like unsteady way. Like, it is a live, mm-hmm, version. I've only ever heard live versions. I don't know if Richard ever did a studio take, but like, yeah, it starts off kind of unsteady, uncertain, and then, you know, it kind of gets stronger as it goes, and maybe that's almost like as he's getting into the song and he's feeling that support from her, it becomes more grounded, mm-hmm, but, like, Richard, you know, like, died, you know, had a lot of, like, as far as I understand, like, drug and alcohol stuff going on, and ended up dying, and, you know, it was known that he was probably dealing with a lot of heavy emotional stuff through his life, so I think also knowing that and knowing how much this love meant to him, it's also heartbreaking to know that, you know, he didn't make it. But yeah, his voice is like famously known for like the emotional weight and pain that it carries. And that's how that was his kind of signature on the band. Like, he had this very soulful presence. So it almost, you know, for me, like, it really like sinks in how much he felt that support. And maybe that's why this song hits for me so much, because you know he's not just saying it. Like, this is everything to him. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Yeah. It really, you can feel it a lot. And I can see how, like, being like 20 hearing this song for the first time, it would hit really hard. Yeah. With that yearning. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gets me emotional. Like, even talking about it, I'm like, geez, I can feel like my, you know, a knot in my throat. I'm like, damn, Richard. Damn.
I understand.
Yeah.
Is it time for the next song then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, let's, the next song.
Which one do you want to be next?
Okay, I know which one I want to be next, because I did think about this too, like the story arc here. Mm-hmm. So the next song I want to do is by a local Toronto artist. Mm-hmm. It's called Don't Think by Eliza Niemi. I'm ready to listen.
Awesome, let's do it. That was a crazy journey of a song. That was beautiful. That was, yeah.
That's Eliza Niemi for you.
Yeah.
She actually just put out a new record yesterday, this week.
Oh my
week.
God. Okay. Yeah.
So everyone should listen.
Definitely.
Incredible artist from Toronto.
Another local artist. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, that end part where she flips the I'm into you to being like the I'm out of you, and like continuing to use the I'm out of you so that the I'm into you works in a way that I just wasn't expecting it, and it was really gorgeous. This concept of like falling out of love but also like appreciating someone, I think, is kind of the vibe. Really complex, and I think it's like the song is so like overall like stripped back, and it manages to capture that really well. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, I remember the first time I heard this song. I had just come out of the studio. I was working on my very first EP, and I was working with Aaron Goldstein at his studio, and he had told me that he would be at the Basement Review, the annual Jason Collette's Basement Review. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. Yeah, and it's an annual thing, and it's kind of like secret performers. You don't know, and then you go to the event, and you find out that night. And Aaron was like, kind of, I guess I'm outing him here, but he's like, I'm going to be there because I'm going to be performing. And he's like, you should come tonight. And I was like, okay. I'm sure it was okay that he spilled the beans at the last second. But I went, and that night, Eliza Niemi also performed. And she had gone on stage with her cello and played that song. And yeah, like it obviously stayed with me. And after that night, I went and checked out the whole record, Staying Mellow Blows. And yeah, the thing I think about Eliza, and I think, yeah, lots of folks would say this probably, you know, it's just like how these complex emotions are captured in these really delicate arrangements. And this song, Don't Think, to me, you know, going from sort of, I think, like the Richard Manuel song She Knows, which is all about just being, you know, this person is your like lifeline. To, I think, this song, which, I think in one sense, to me, this song's about that, like, heady, sort of instantaneous spark of a connection where this person does feel like you're everything, but as quickly as they're your everything, it can immediately disappear as well, or just, like, blow up as quickly as it kind of ignited. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have had that experience. I certainly have had that experience, too, where you have this incredible spark and this incredible connection that's kind of unexplainable, and then as quickly as it comes, it's gone. And I feel like this song talks about that, and then you're left with like, well, what was that? Do I even understand love? Like, and I've definitely been there. I was like, well, what did I just do? Am I like a complete fool? Like, is that not, did I not just have love? Was that even love? And then being so confused. And I think like Eliza through the song like kind of works through that feeling throughout the song of, you know, I took the, you know, I fall into you and out of you as like that like this instantaneous spark, and then quickly you're also gone. And I guess the spark too, like this idea that it's like so fleeting too, that you're trying to grasp onto it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of sort of part of the song. And then she even grapples with this idea of like, are you a muse perhaps? Like maybe this isn't love, maybe it's more of a muse. And I do think about this idea of like creative connection and creative chemistry and sexual chemistry and love and the overlap of all of that. And then the song at the end, I'm going to pull up the lyric because this hits me. Like, I didn't know it then, and I don't think I know it now. And she's talking about love. And I don't know if I ever will, but my God, I want it still. And I was just like, God damn, Eliza.
Yeah.
You know?
That yearning for that feeling to come back and everything.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and like, even though it's so painful and confusing and don't even understand what it is, you still really badly want it. Yeah. So this song, like, because, you know, I just feel like so many of us have gone through this experience of, like, having a huge spark and, you know, then it suddenly you had it and then it's gone. Like, it goes away.
And it can be, like, literally at the snap of a finger.
Yes.
And then suddenly you're like, okay, is this just gonna, like, go back to normal? Or, like, go back to what it has been and what I really liked? Or is it just gone and that's it? And, like,
what the fuck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had an experience like that was really intense for me. I had this and it really went away in an instant and it never came back and it was fully gone. And mm-hmm. I remember just being so rocked by that experience and I was like, what, like, did I misunderstand? Like, did I have a different experience than this person? Like, what just happened? And despite going through that, right, which can be so scary and painful, and yet you still want to keep going, even though it makes no sense. And the way Eliza, like, you know, the arrangement of this song, it's so stripped back, it's so intimate, like that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And things come and go in it, like, you know, you hear, like, some banjo, you hear, like, the texture of the brushes, and things are coming and going. And everything feels kind of fleeting, too.
Definitely. It kind of feels like you really have to appreciate every instrument as it comes in, or else you're going to miss something.
You're going to miss it.
And it's the same way with the lyrics. Like, I feel like if you don't just, like, appreciate every single one as it hangs over you, especially with her voice and, like, the way with the instrumentals, it almost drones in, like, such a beautiful, like, light way, which, like, hard to find a balance there, but it's gorgeously done. Yeah,
it's so gorgeous. I know, that's interesting too about the way Eliza sings. You know, it's so, it almost has this ASMR quality, you know. I think I think it's really cool when you feel like this person is in your ear, but also the song, you know, it's free form. There's, like, to me, it doesn't seem like there's, like, a structure, like, you know, verse, chorus, bridge thing. That doesn't seem like it's happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like every line is just like, it's there and then it's gone. And you're just like, oh. And that's, like, it just captures, to me, this song captures the feeling of that experience of, like, this heady, lustful, intense connection, whatever this connection might be. Is it love? I don't know. Is it creative chemistry? Like, I'm saying sexual chemistry, an amalgamation of all that just, like, comes in an instant and then disappears in an instant. And I feel like this song, I think this song captures the aftermath of that experience in a way where you're just like, it's almost like, you know, like, it's almost like this, like, explosion happens and then you're lost in the silence. You know, like, that deafening ring at the end of...
Definitely.
That's almost what I feel like this song captures, that, like, experience of you're just in that zone all of a sudden. And you're just, like, stunned.
Like, where am I? What's going on?
It brings me to that. It really brings me to it. It makes me feel less alone in that experience. Because that experience is so... It's for me, it's been, like, really...
Really isolating.
Yeah, isolating.
There's something that me and my roommate talk about a lot where it's like couples love hanging out with couples, and there's like a level of, like, you lose a level of community when you realize that you're just not in love with someone anymore. And, like, there's this layers of mourning, someone's family, someone's pets, like Sophia, when, like, you realize, like, wait, maybe I don't want to continue with this.
Even, like, you know, it's interesting even saying, like, what if you're still in love, or you think you still are, and suddenly, like, that's the thing too, I think, about this song, because, like, I've had this experience where it's like something just, like, vanished, and I was like, but what, like, my heart's still in it, or at least I think my heart's still in it, like, I feel like I have love still, like, but suddenly, you know? So I've been in that experience, right? And I just think, like, even, like, I feel like Eliza, to me, is getting at that, too. Like, with the line, like, are you here forever or just my muse? Why can't you be both? Like, that line, mm-hmm. to me, got at the feeling for me where it's like, yeah, like, you know, where I was like, I believe I'm still in love, like, I'm still in love, I think I'm still in love, but could I be if this, like, has, like, if this is not a forever thing, or if you could just disappear so quickly, like, was I even love? Was that even love? Was I even in love? Although it felt like I was in love.
Yeah, I think what really speaks to me about that line is, as somebody who really loves being in love, and I love love, and we talked about this on the way over, like, this idea of, like, being someone who romanticizes everything, I think there's been moments in the past where I'm looking for an outlet for that in someone, and, like, they're just not reciprocating, but I'm like, I want you to be the outlet. And that's kind of something that spoke to me about that lyric. And maybe you have a, like, you have a different interpretation, but it's interesting. Yeah.
I do get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. For me, I guess, like, I was looking at this song through the lens of an experience I had where I believe I was in love with someone, and just in an instant they were gone. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, so, like, whoa, wow. Like, that's, like, it was surreal to me. I was like, really? Like, with love, you can really just flip like that,
just go.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I thought that line, are you here forever or just my muse, I'm like, well, maybe that's just a creative muse, like, they're gone in an instant or something, or, like, you know, the forever was love and muse is just everything, it could have been something else. Yeah, like,
so were you on the other side of someone just kind of, like, flipping their feelings on a turn, or
I guess that's what it felt like to me, like, I'm you know, like, it just felt like, it felt like that to me.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not entirely. No, like, I felt like, you know, I was in a thing, like, we had hit a bump, like, we'd had, like, a fight, I suppose. And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, I want to still make this work. And, like, yeah, this other person was just like, no. I was like, oh, whoa. Like, wow, really? Like, mm-hmm. really, like, nothing. And they were just like, yeah, no, nothing's going to work here. And I was just like,
wow.
Holy. Like, that was crazy to me. Like, I just had never had an experience where someone was, like, so adamantly, like, no, I can't do it. Maybe I misunderstood, like, in hindsight, I'm like, maybe I misunderstood that experience, but, like, I took it as the way they were expressing themselves. I took it as, like, yeah, it's just, like, a hard no, we can't figure this out. And I had never had an experience like that where I was like, it was such a powerful connection, and then you hit a bump, and then this person's like, oh, no, yeah, like, this is not gonna work. And I was just like, whoa, okay.
Someone's not willing... I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything, but where someone's, like, not, like, reciprocating an effort that you think is worth it, almost.
Or, yeah, I guess, like, maybe not feeling like a solution could have been found, where I was like, oh, I feel like we could get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. But I guess, like, you know, that's not how everyone feels, right? But I guess, like, it was just one of those things where it, like, happened really big and fast, and then left just as quick. Came really quickly and left really quickly. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, totally swept me up in this thing. And this song makes me think about that experience, because I feel like lots of folks have had that kind of thing where you get caught up in this thing and then it's gone. Yeah. You're just like, what just happened?
Yeah. I'm thinking about my past relationships, and it's funny how they've mirrored each other in that way. I feel like the ones that came in really quick, they end at the same pace. Yeah, always.
That's what, like, they say.
I never considered that
before. Lesson learned. Yeah, I was like, exactly. Yeah, I'm a slow burn guy now. But then also, like, on that note too, like, I feel like, you know, sometimes I want to throw caution to the wind again, and maybe, like, even don't think, like Eliza's song, it's called Don't Think. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe don't think means, yeah, like, don't overthink it, let yourself get swept up in this big, heady, crazy, a sparky connection, and, you know, it's gonna probably blow up too, and fall, you're gonna fall in as just quickly as you fall out, and just, like, go for it, just don't think, and just, like, maybe Eliza wrote this to herself to just kind of give, like, just, like, some sort of salve in a way of just, like, yep, this is just how it's gonna be, and just throw caution to the wind, because I feel like after that experience that I had, I became quite guarded, and I was like, okay, no, I'm not gonna just willy-nilly, like, let myself get swept up into this crazy things like that again, where the connection is so intoxicating. I was just like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, nah. But maybe,
like, yeah. Losing yourself a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, absolutely not. I'm like, we're not doing that. Like, we're like, we are not doing that anymore. But then I think maybe this song, like, it's called Don't Think. And it's like, I became super, like, analytical and critical in dating, like, after that experience. Because I was just like, is that going to happen again? Like, I'm like, they're doing these things. Oh, that might go to that. Like, I was just like, but maybe, yeah, you just, maybe this song to me is just like, this happens. And it might not make sense, and it can still be really powerful and beautiful, and let it come and go. And so maybe that's also why this resonates with me, because, yeah.
Yeah, that's such an impactful experience. I couldn't imagine. Yeah, it's hard to go through something where, like, people just come and go and you're really not expecting it. Yeah.
And you know what, honestly, like, I think also going through that experience, like, maybe having gone through once, like, now I'm like with some distance from it, maybe I feel a lot more at ease too with perhaps that happening now that I've gone through it one time. Maybe I can feel a little more comfortable with going through that again. Yeah, just,
you know, that you're, like, stronger coming out the other end for it. Yeah.
And maybe it's okay. Like, it's okay that something comes in really hot and then also just fades away. Like, maybe that's just a part of being alive and being a human, that in the aftermath of that experience, I became really, like, no, I'm not going to explore anything that has that intensity. Like, I was, like, absolutely not. Stay away from the intensity. Like, that leads to, like, equally intense blow-ups. So I'm, like, but maybe that's a, like, allow yourself to just go through it and know it's gonna be a lot, but it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, that's a really good note. I think I'm gonna use that, take that down, because I think it's really, there is a degree of being scared of, like, passion for things in a lot of ways. So
it's good to
just let yourself live it sometimes.
Yeah, we just don't think. That's right.
Just don't think. Just don't brain off. Sometimes. Yeah. Okay. I think we should listen to the last song.
Yeah. Next song is called Promises by Cleo Soul. I'm not gonna lie, hearing these songs, like, I'm so emotional hearing these three songs. Like, every time we've listened, I just want to cry at the end of each song.
It's a very intimate experience listening to a song with someone too, like, knowing that we're all kind of in this room, the exact same energy.
Yeah,
I feel like this is another, like, one that's really complex in a sense. Like, it really takes you through, like, this personal relationship with the self.
Yes. And then
relationship with someone else.
Yeah, that's like that's why I wanted to end on this song, because I feel like I wanted to kind of, like, maybe use these songs, like, almost like a journey that I've experienced in my life, where, like, starting off understanding love as this, like, you know, in this way of, like, two people coming together, like Richard singing to his woman and understanding that as love, and then going through some experiences in life, and then hearing a song like Eliza Niemi's Don't Think and being like, oh wow, like, what is that? And then coming to Promises by Cleo Soul, like, this song, I take this as a love song about self, a love song to oneself. She's singing to someone, and the you in this song, like, there's the lyric, she's singing to you. I think she's talking to her child self. That's how I interpret this song. And when I heard it, I was like, okay, it's her promise to herself today and her promise to her younger self to love one another and get closer to your truth. And, like, that's where I sit with love at this point in my life. It's the relationship I have with myself. And hearing this song, you hear the struggle between the struggle to me to honor and love yourself. It's not easy at all. And I think you hear the hope and the pain and the perseverance in this song, and I just think it's so beautiful. That's called Promises, because, like, there is only, like, the promise that's, like, the ultimate promise to yourself, to love yourself. So I when I hear this song, I hear it as singing to your younger self.
Yeah, I definitely, like, especially need some distance from you. I kind of, when I first heard those, I was kind of, like, immediately like, oh, there has to be someone else involved here. But no, like, that makes so much sense that it's, like, just you, and, like, knowing when to feed your inner child and when to sort of let it go, and, you know, and when to, like, have some space from like the little kid that's like talking in your ear all the time.
Yeah. And like you do, like, that line needs some distance from you. I just disappoint you. Like, I've fully been there. Like, you do disappoint yourself. It's like, I have let down my inner child so much in my life. I've let my inner child down years and years and years and years. And it's like, but, and then knowing that you want that distance, maybe because you can't face the fact that you've been disappointing yourself. Like, that's a real, real feeling. Like, I feel like that's how I took it, is like, yeah, I let myself down a bazillion times. And did I want to face that? No, I wanted that distance because it was hard to, like, be honest with myself about that. But, you know, yeah, I think it's, like, when I look at it like that, there's still always hope. Because although she talks about, yeah, needing distance, I took it as needing distance because maybe you feel a bit of shame from having disappointed your younger self, you're still trying to maintain this promise. And promises, they're hard to keep forever and always. But as long as you get back to that promise, like, keep trying. And the way the song as well, like, this song too, you know, it feels like it has like a refrain but like not really a chorus, but it's just like chugging along. Even the way the beat and the tempo is, it's like you're just chugging along and just keep trying to chip away at that promise to love yourself even when it gets hard. Yeah. And then I think like another, like, some other lines in here that really resonated with me was like when she sings, "You was the one who said believe in love. We get closer, but not close enough." It's almost like, you know, you're looking back to your younger self who, like, had all this hope and was just like, you know, love will triumph all. And you're just trying to get back to that version of yourself. But you, maybe it's never close enough. It's like the lifelong journey is to always get back to that version of yourself. And it's like a forever process. Like, you can never get close enough to your inner child. At least I feel that. And like every day I try to get closer and closer.
Definitely. Just hear what that little kid has to say. And just like what's important and what's not.
Yeah. And like even when she sings too, like, why did you have to leave? Why did you have to go? It's like, well, that's what happens. Like, the world comes for you. And like, you lose that part of yourself. So it's like almost like this, like, why? Like, it's like, yeah, well, it's the world we live in. And that part of you does go, but it's like, if we can always bring it back. And so I do listen to this song a lot, almost like as like a practice of like when I need a reminder to keep going and to like almost like, it's funny, I listen to this song almost like taking a vow or something, where I like listen to it and I'm like, okay, I'm renewing my promise again. Like, I know it sounds silly, but like in some way I'll listen to this song and it invigorates me again to be like, okay, I'm gonna keep that promise, I'm gonna keep chugging. And I hear that beat, I hear the tempo, and I just like keep marching on. Like, that's almost how it feels when I hear this song.
Do you feel like recently you've had to do a lot to kind of like protect that inner child and sort of like keep them alive in your thoughts? Or
I feel like these days my inner child is thriving. My good. Inner child is alive and well these days, like really, really good. But absolutely was not the case for me, like, for a lot of my life. Like, I think I've revisited this relationship I've had with my inner child, you know, through when life really slowed down through the pandemic, and I really took a hard look at myself and I wanted to cultivate this relationship with myself. So these days I feel like my inner child is like, woo, let's go. Like, you know, freaking leading the way, guiding me is constantly with me now. And I love it because I feel like every day is so much more fun now that I'm like living more aligned with my inner child. But like, developing that trust with your inner child takes so much time, and like hearing it and honoring it and like dialoguing with it. I know this all sounds like maybe like a little weird, or like, you know, I don't know, like maybe some people will hear it and be like, this is kind of strange, but it's just you, it's just getting back to you. It's like, What is at the core of your, like, what is your desire? What are your motivations?
Who's like, the self?
Yeah.
Like, who's there? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, what is that? And fucking gets lost. It goes away because the world gets fucking chucked on you. And then you lose that and you got to get back to figuring out who that was. And I absolutely recognize that. It's like, I think as I started to uncover that, I was like, because I've written songs about like desire and stuff, because it was like I was like awakening to desire for the first time, because I was just like, well, I just completely shut down my inner child for so long. I didn't even know what I even wanted.
I've been there. Yeah. I understand. I feel like it's only in the past year have I really figured out who I am. And it's interesting to hear people say, like, Imogen, you just, like, I had a friend tell me when I was, like, 19 and be like, Imogen, you're just so sure of yourself. You know exactly who you are. And I'm like, where are you getting that idea from? Like, I have no idea who I am. It's crazy.
Well, maybe, like, that's interesting to hear when other folks see that. But, like, maybe, because I think folks probably would have said the same of me, too. But it was, like, for me, I was actually just, like, going through the motions of what I was like, okay, like, I'm supposed to do this next and this next and this next. And I was doing that with a lot of, like, assured energy, because I was like, well, these are the things that you do.
Definitely.
But then it's like, was that actually what I wanted to be doing? And, like, I realized it wasn't, you know? And getting in touch with your desire again has been, like, one of the most profound experiences of my life, you know, coming to know what I really wanted. And I think, yeah, like, listening to this song, I just was like, wow, like, come on. Like, I think the first lyric is just like, promise I made was to love myself. I'm like, yep. Yeah. Like, you got, I'm like, yeah, like, it's just so simple. It's like, yep, well, I need a song like that. We all need a song like that.
And that brings it, like, all back, like, full circle. Like, it's just a perfect little affirmation.
Yeah. And, like, maybe, you know, actually, She Knows, you think about it, it's like, She Knows was all about getting validation from this guy. Like, this guy was acknowledging the care that this woman gave. But it's like, the promise that you make is to give that to yourself. You know, maybe I realize that now, even just talking about it, it's like, I can just do that for myself.
I feel like I've learned a lot from this conversation, Liv. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and reflection. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Yeah. I'm glad it was fun. Yeah. I don't hate to cut you off, but I know you have to get going. Yes. So yeah.
Yeah.
We could just talk about love songs all day.
Totally. But...
Exactly.
And love.
And love in general. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you everybody for listening at home. And thank you again, Liv, for being here and coming to our little studio.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Sophia was making a lot of entrances today.
Yes,
so
I love
heard
Sophia.
Her. She's a sweetheart. Be sure to subscribe to This Must Be the Place. Leave a comment, leave a review, recommend a guest. I'd love to hear who you want to hear talk about love. It'd be really fun to get a range of artists and musicians on. So drop a comment, let me know who you want to hear me talk to. Stay up to date with new episodes on our Instagram at This Must Be the Place Pod, and subscribe to the newsletter, because that's the easiest way to get all the playlists and the songs and guest information and updates on episodes dropping all at once, all in one little easy package for you to see. Thank you again, guys. Lots of love from Toronto, and we'll chat soon. Bye.
Bye.
Cute.